So, fun story to start off with, which I'm sure that if no one else, at least Carla will appreciate. My secretary called me up into her office early this week. It was either Monday or Tuesday. And she said, "Father Luger, I have a problem. In the lectionary, I can't find anything after today, this Sunday, in the lectionary. We have Christ the King, but after that, I can't find anything else in the book." And I said, "That's because the year ends after Sunday, and you've got to go from year A into year B." And she said, "Why?" Keeping in mind that Jamie goes to a different in the non-liturgical church, I said, "Well, because Advent starts the new year, and you need to switch from year A to year B, and I think the book, oh, there it is, it's right over there. You just pull it over, and you flip it open, and there it is, Advent, year B, Advent 1, there it is." "Why?" "Because the church new year starts with the first Sunday of Advent, so you go from Christ the King, which is the last Sunday of the year, to the first Sunday of Advent, which is the new year, and we go from year A to year B to year C, and that's why." "Why doesn't the new year start with the new year?" "Because the church starts the new year with the first Sunday." "Why?" "Because it's been like that for like 1,000 years. This is just, you know what, we'll talk about this after Thanksgiving." So really, this is the church's New Year's Eve, so to speak, right? Happy New Year. Okay? We're getting ready to start a new season. And if you think about it, each of the seasons in the church year are kind of times of shuns. Shuns, yes. If you have Pentecost, it is a time of commission. Okay? If you think about Easter, it is a time of resurrection. If you think about Lent, it is a time of repentance, which leads to reconciliation. If you think about Epiphany, it is a time of manifestation. I've worked long and hard on these, folks. They all work, trust me. If you go to Advent, it is a time of preparation. Okay? So, we are heading into a season of preparation. And when we think about preparation, man, you know, the world is all about preparation right now. They're getting ready for Christmas. Okay? They're all about Christmas. In fact, they've been ready for Christmas for about 2 weeks, okay? If not before, really. I mean, they were aching to be ready for this stuff, and there's only this very little bit of restraint that's held them back. I was driving back from Thanksgiving dinner, and I saw that one of my neighbors had put up their Christmas tree, okay? It was already up, okay? I don't know if any of you do that. If not, I don't judge you much. God loves you. It's okay. You know, I am of the mind that a Christmas tree should probably go up on Christmas Eve and come down on Epiphany. But God has given me this incredible woman who has a large amount of input in lots of my decisions. So, indeed. You know what I'm talking about. You know, that doesn't happen. And also, I have 5 children and lots to do. So generally, my Christmas tree comes down by Ash Wednesday. It comes down by Ash Wednesday. At the very least, all of the decorations are off by then. But we have a fake tree. It's generally still looks healthy. But there are so many people who are like, hey, it's time for Christmas. Let's have the manger out and the this out and all of these things, and we'll do this and we'll do that, and we're going to spray our house with snow. My children, they heard it was going to be like 50, and so they were like, can we spray the yard with the hose so that it freezes and it looks like it's covered in ice? It's going to be 50. Nothing's going to freeze. Okay? But people are so ready to be doing these things. But the church is dragging its heels. And really it ought to be. Okay? Because the church is of a mind that we need to take time and prepare for these things, okay? And not just let's make sure that we get all the really great deals on Black Friday, or that we manage to sleep through our food coma appropriately after Thanksgiving, right? Make sure you get that sort of sloshy feeling worked out by the time that you have to go back to work on Monday. But that we really take our time and prepare for these things. And you'll see over the next 4 weeks that the readings aren't those like wonderful, sentimental, oh, like baby in a manger, wonderful little Christmas carol-y kind of readings. They're not those. They're the borderline judgmental, borderline scary, sometimes angry John the Baptist-y, God's going to come and he's going to judge you people and you need to get right with the Lord kind of readings. Because really, we're talking about the King coming back. Not just that beautiful little child who was born in a manger. Not just the coming of the King who was innocent and born of a virgin and laid in the manger on that quiet night in Bethlehem. But we're also talking about that King who will come in glory and split the eastern sky. And when he comes back, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And we need to be ready for that. Because we see in our readings today, what kind of king he is. We see in the reading from Exile, in the reading, and yes, I meant to say Ezekiel, but Exile is also appropriate. Because when Ezekiel gave this prophecy, his people were in exile. Ezekiel had been part of the people who had been taken captive into Babylon. And when he gave this prophecy, Israel and Judah had been taken captive and they were scattered. They had been taken off into Assyria, they had been taken off into Babylon, and they were scattered. They were not in their own land. And God said, I indeed will search for my sheep and I will seek them out as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountain of Israel, in the valleys and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountain of Israel. There shall they lie down in good fold and feed them in rich pasture on the mountain of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. So God says, look, when they're driven away, when they're scattered, when they're lost, I will seek them out. You know, when I heard Christ the King, okay, when I was like, okay, what am I going to say? What is I going to do here? There was this line that kept coming back to my head, and I was like, okay, well, let me look at this and see if it's appropriate. And my first thought when I actually looked it up was, no, that's completely inappropriate. I can't use that. But then I thought, yeah, that actually is perfect because it's so not what Christ is. How many of you remember Mel Brooks? It's Good to Be the King. Anybody remember that? Yeah. The opposite of what Christ is. Mel Brooks, it was History of the World Part Two. He was one of the French kings, like Louis XVI, one of the guys who ended up getting beheaded because he was such a tyrant. He's walking around taking advantage of everyone, sort of the Hollywood mogul kind of guy right now. And every time he does something scandalous, he says, it's good to be the king, right? That is the opposite, the complete, diametrically opposed, absolute opposite of what Christ would do. Because Christ lays himself down and he goes out and he finds we who are lost. He goes out into the wastelands and he finds we who are scattered. And he brings us back and he feeds us. And what does he feed us with? He feeds us with himself. With his own body, with his own blood. He gives us himself as food. He returns us to himself and revives us with himself. And having overcome death, he defeats sin. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Because he defeated death, he defeats death for us. And then he puts all things under his feet, including death. Including whatever it is that's troubling you. Including whatever it is that's bothering you. Whether it's your future, whether it's your finances, whether it's your children, whether it's your parents, whether it's your children's finances, whether it's your parents' finances, whatever it is that's bothering you, all enemies he's put under his feet. And when he comes, he divides those sheep and those goats. And he says to them, sit on my right hand. Inherit the kingdom prepared from you for the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. And the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And then he looks at those who are on the other side and said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for when I was hungry, you didn't give me food. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was in jail, you didn't visit me. And they say, Lord, whenever you were all of these things, when did we see you like that and not take care of you? And he says, inasmuch as you didn't do it to the least of one of these, you didn't do it to me. Now depart into the outer darkness. We are heading into a time of preparation. We are getting into a time where we're preparing again. This is the great thing about the church year. We are beings that are destined for immortality, and so we long for something that is permanent and beyond us, but yet we're still here on earth, and so we need something that just goes and comes back again and has a cycle, which is why the church year is wonderful for us, because we can go through it again and again and again, and so we get to do these things again. It's why we love Christmas and Easter and these holidays that we celebrate over and over and over again, because there is something that longs for something that's permanent, because we're destined for immortality, but yet we're here, and so we need something that just goes back and over again. And so here we are, ready to do it again. Because one of these times, this will be our last Advent. One of these days will be our last Christmas. One of these days will be the last time that we take communion together or confess our sins together or have an opportunity to reflect on what it means to kneel before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as we head into this season, we need to think about what it means to prepare for his coming. We sang today that there's an army rising up. What does it mean for an army to prepare? Do you think that an army just like gets a phone call one night and says, hey, it's time to be an army? And everybody just shows up one day and they're like, yay, we're all here. Armies prepare. They drill. They practice. They gather together. They do things together. That when the time comes, they do not just act as a whole bunch of guys that are good fighters on their own. Because good fighters on their own die on their own. A good army works well together. A good army trains together. A good army spends time together. A good army practices together. We need to be practicing together. We need to be worshiping together. We need to be praying together. We need to be mindful of being together. Things are changing. The world is changing. Times are different. You only need to look on the news and see that the world is just in a rotten time. That doesn't mean that it won't get better. But I have this feeling that at some point in time, be it 20 years, 50 years, 100 years from now, there's going to be a textbook that describes this time as just a rotten era in history. By God's grace, it'll be followed by a really good time. But we need to be preparing for whatever comes next, whether it be a worse time period, a better time period, or the return of our God. We need to be preparing. That is the call of the season that we are entering into. That is the call of this time in this church's life. That is the call of the church who worships Christ the King. We need to be prepared for his return. Whatever comes in the news, in the nations, in the world, the church doesn't really care what happens on the news. Because regardless of this president, that president, this prime minister, that premier, it doesn't matter. Because ultimately, the King of Kings will put all of them under his feet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.